Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Welcome, welcome. This is Marnie, and you're here with me and Tiffany Johnson for a program called Shark Attack, Fear Assault, and Faith Abounds. Our guest today is Tiffany, and we're going to be talking about how God saved her from the jaws of death, literally, how you can overcome anxiety and adversity, even if it includes a shark attack, why living in fear doesn't work and what you can do about it, why recognizing miracles and second chances changes everything, the easiest way to shift your perspective, three simple strategies to grow your faith, why sharing your story matters so much, and the important lesson that Tiffany learned through it all. Tiffany Johnson is a shark attack survivor, speaker, author, and kingdom builder. Relatable and inspiring. You'll walk away from this program and any of Tiffany's programs full of hope, empowered to take action and experience breakthrough and live life as an overcomer. You can definitely learn more about Tiffany over at beanovercomerministries.com and invite her to speak via womenspeakers.com. So excited to welcome you here with me now, Tiffany. Welcome.
Thank you. It's my honor to be here.
Yeah, and I'm excited to have you. And we are talking about something near and dear to your heart, which was a moment that changed everything. And I want you just to, you know, give just a briefest background of that, how God saved you from literally a shark attack.
Yeah. Well, my husband and I, we love to go on vacation. And that was the trip we were on when this happened. And it was just the two of us. We went out snorkeling, you know, just what normal people do on vacation, right? Nothing crazy. Nope. And my husband had went back to the boat after about 20 minutes of snorkeling because he wasn't feeling well. So it was just me out on the reef. And I felt like I had slammed into something all of a sudden. So when I turned to my right, kind of casually, like, what did I bump into? I was face to face with a shark, and he had my whole arm pinned in his mouth. I often give a visual reference, and since we're on camera, I want to give it to you all too. But the first bite was, I have a scar kind of right here. So I want to just give you some perspective here. This is how close we were. I mean, we were face to face.
Like 6 inches. My goodness.
So as you can imagine, fear took over. I started having thoughts of my kids, you know, playing in the backyard with my husband. It was like little movie clip of my life started to play before me, but I felt the strength of the Lord come out from inside of me and give me that will to fight. And that's when I yanked my arm. There was a struggle. You know, I'm screaming through my snorkel tube. I'm trying to yank, get away from him. At one point during the yanking, his jaws kind of open and my arm just kind of flies out. And it looked like this, obviously more a bloody mess, but it was gone. He had taken all of my arm off completely. And I was just left with this mangled stump. And I remember just being just in just shock for a minute, like my arm's gone, but God gave me the strength to keep moving. And I was already at the surface of the water. So I just yanked off my snorkel mask. I screamed out, help, help me, Jesus. And I began to swim and make my way back to the boat. My husband had jumped in the water after he heard my scream. So by the time he got to me, though, I had made it most of the way. It was only about 12, 15 feet away, and he kind of guided me those last little bit. And the captain threw out a rope, and I'm using it quickly to get in. And as soon as I hit that ladder, I mean, my husband just kind of launches me out of the boat into the boat and – or out of the water into the boat. And that's when I felt the peace of the Lord surround me like a cloud of his presence. I can't quite describe it other than just knowing, like, I felt him there, like his presence was resting on me. And that's when I knew, like, I'm in his hands, you know. I was urgent, but I wasn't fearful, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
I think of 2 Timothy 1:7, you know, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. I felt like that was oozing out of me. Like, I had a sound mind. I could feel his power, you know, surrounding me. And his love was like you know, like that's what I felt, his presence, you know?
Yeah.
So there I was trying to, you know, we're trying to figure out how to get back. My arm was bleeding everywhere, as you can imagine. And we find out there's no tourniquet, no med kit on board. So we use the towel that the cruise lines give us to kind of wrap my arm, if you will, try to tourniquet as best we can. But we all know towels aren't meant to be tourniquets. So we had a 30-minute boat ride back to the main port. And all I had was this towel to sustain me in the natural. And I made it all the way to the hospital, fully aware. I never lost consciousness. Never went into shock. And then we find out after the surgery that I didn't even require a blood transfusion.
Wow.
So the miracles that are a part of this story, and it keeps, I mean, there's so many miracles, but that alone, like nobody can wrap their head around that. I've talked to so many medical professionals and doctors and nurses, and they're like, Tiffany, should not you have are happened. A walking, there's no other explanation. Like we can't explain you in the natural. You had to be, you know, in God's hands. He had to have saved you.
It's such a horrifying story, right? What we all, you know, fear might someday happen to us or someone we love. And yet, as you went through it, you know, God's presence from the very moment, even when you said your head was above water and you didn't cry help to your husband, you cry help to Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, God was like just surrounding you in every aspect of it. And people would say, you know, why did he allow it at all? Right?
Yeah.
You know, if he can sustain you afterwards, why would he allow it? And I'm going to let you answer that in a moment. My answer always is because we're on earth. This is not yet heaven, and bad things do happen here.
Yeah. 100% agree with that. And I think to add to it, the Lord allows some things to happen in order for his greater glory to be revealed. And we don't like that as humans. We want everything to be sunshine and rainbows, especially if we've given our life to the Lord and we're like, amazing, you know, but God never promised that. It says in John that in this world, you will have trouble. But the second part is, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And if he is overcome, we know we can overcome.
Yeah.
And so sometimes he allows things, not that he sends things our way to teach us a lesson. I want to make sure you're hearing what I'm saying. Like I'm not saying the Lord does that. I'm saying sometimes he allows it to happen. He doesn't interfere with the fallen world we live in because there's a greater purpose behind it. And it's hard for me to really fully explain that other than just saying like what God has done through this story is far greater than I would have ever imagined I would have had influence in or to tell people about Jesus than, you know, than would have happened before. You know, I've always been ministry minded most of my life, but the reach that I've had just because a shark attack happened, the lives that have been saved just because I'm willing to share it has been crazy, just absolutely crazy. I wish that it could have been a different way, but I trust the plan.
Right. You know what? And that's what I say. And that's what everybody I've ever talked to that's walked through something, you know, really horrific. We all kind of have the same thing. If God would have said, how about if we do it this way? We would have said, let's find a different way.
Right. I mean, nobody wants to go through that.
No. And even Jesus said it.
Yeah.
You know, could we maybe find a different way to accomplish the same end? And from God's perspective, when he has a willing soul, he's like, you know what, we're going to do this the very best way possible. And I'm going to be walking you with you through it the whole way. And some of you are listening and you're like, I am walking right through the valley of the shadow of death somehow right now myself, whether it's emotionally, relationally, physically, in whatever way. And you're like, how did you survive it, Tiffany? How can I survive it?
It's one of the pieces that I've learned in this journey is just the Lord is who he says he is.
Amen.
And when I really grabbed a hold of that in those early days, right after the accident and, you know, I'm trying to process it all. I mean, I had gone through a horrific thing. My whole life had been altered. I have three young kids. you know, one, my youngest was one at the time. So trying to navigate motherhood now and, you know, all the things. Right. When it came down to it, though, I had to remember who God is. Yeah. He is beyond this circumstance. He's beyond the weight of the situation. He is who he says he is. And when I really could grab a hold of that, when I fixed my eyes back on the Lord and who he is, that's what gave me the filling up that I needed. And so when I was struggling with not having joy, or I was struggling with all the anxiousness of the unknown, when I was struggling with the frustration, like, why did this have to happen? All those things, I had to fix my eyes on him. And that's when he filled me with the peace, the joy, the hope. You know, it's right. It's kind of shifting that perspective. It sounds kind of crazy because some people are like, okay, yeah, just think about the Lord. But honestly, when we really think about who he is, it changes everything. It changes the light of what we're in, because it fills us with the hope of who he is.
Yeah, no, I totally get what you're saying. And I know people do minimize the value of it. And I'm like, no, it is absolutely unbelievable. And the only thing I've ever been able to come close to it as far as an analogy is the training that you have before you have a baby, how to breathe and how to focus on something other than the pain.
Yeah.
And for me personally, that was radical, because in our training session, she had us practicing the breathing and focusing. And then she said, okay, now just, you know, stop. And now, guys, this time when she does that breathing, I want you to just pinch her leg as hard as you can while she's doing it. And as I was doing the focusing and the breathing, I was thinking, as Dave was pinching my leg, I was thinking, he knows that if he really pinches me hard, I'm going to club him. So I know he's just hardly pinching me. But as we got done, she said, now, guys, I want you to do again exactly what you just did. He had pinched me so hard, it brought tears to my eyes. Mm. But while my focus was off of that and onto something beautiful and calming, I did not feel the pain.
Amazing.
And this is what God offers to us. And a lot of people say, well, they had tried Lamaze or whatever, but if you do it the way that God like set it up, like it's an incredible amount of pain relief that's available by focusing on something different. And you talk a lot about the fear that you had to face there. And it's part of this focus thing that gets us out of the fear that, of course, is just going to come.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if our attention is on the fear, and we give that home, you know, I'm not saying that the thoughts of fear aren't going to come when you're a Christian. That's a lie. So we're going to have the thoughts, but what we do with the thoughts is what's important.
Yeah.
And if you keep giving it a home and you keep dwelling on it and you keep going down that road, that's when it leads to destruction, because fear will eat you alive. You know, you get into all the what if scenarios, right? And I talk about this often when I share about my story, is, you know, when you think about the what if, we all have those what if scenarios that run through our minds. You know, if your husband's late for work, what if you got in a car accident? You know? And you might have that fleeting thought, but if you were to give it a home, it would look like, oh my gosh, now my life's going to be changed. And you go through all these crazy things that you don't even know if that's true. You know, like, why are you giving it a place to rest, right? And that's what I mean by dwelling on the thought. The thought itself isn't the sin, but dwelling on it and giving it a place to rest is where the Lord says, no, you cannot let fear linger. You have to take the thought captive, like it says in Corinthians, take the thought captive. And make it obedient to Christ. And what does that look like? It's switching your what if to an even if. So that's the thing that I've had to do through this journey.
Wow.
Is
powerful.
The what ifs are going to come, you know, especially in this scenario that I'm in. Yeah. What if I can't go back to work? That was the first thing, you know, that I was thinking of after all the craziness settled down. What if I can't go back to what I love to do? What if I can't take care of my kids? What if, you know, all the things, right? And I had to switch that mindset and think, even if I can't go back to work,
Right.
Lord, I know you're my provider. I know you're the one who brings me the ultimate purpose and joy.
Yeah.
Even if I can't fully take care of my kids the way that I did before. Yeah. God, I know that you take care of them and you will provide in a way that we can get through whatever the challenge is, because you are who you say you are. Like, there, it's that switch of mindset. Even if the worst were to come into play, God is still there. Like, he's still for us and not against us. Right. And that just completely eradicates that fear that keeps creeping up and tries to take you down this path of, you know, the what if scenarios, and it just stops it right in its tracks. So that's the thing that I've really had to hone in on. And it's a conscious effort. Like, it doesn't come naturally, but when you're in the word, you kind of know, like, oh, that's, I can't give that life. I've got to speak against it. What if? Nope. Even if.
You know what I love about it? And there are so many things that God has taught me over the years that make it like doable. Okay. So if you're just like, you don't go to fear, well, that's not doable, because I have to have someone else to go, right? If I'm not going to fear, then I have to have a replacement for it. And when we can just remember that little word set, what if we can remember that that's the red flag right there. If I begin thinking what if thoughts, then I just need to trade that out for truth. Even if.
Yes.
Because the what if thoughts, and I was just hearing Chris Valentin, I was listening to a sermon by him yesterday, and he was saying, we know that the what if thoughts, he didn't use it, the phrase exactly like you did, but I love that what if, narrowing it down to that precise of a alarm. If I hear that, I love that. But he said, similarly, you know, why are the what ifs always negative? Why don't we say, my husband's late for work? I bet his boss called him in and gave him a raise.
Right.
We never go there, right?
Never.
The what ifs are never good. And that's why when we hear that phrase in our thoughts, what if, we can just know for sure, this is coming against me. God is for me. Let's shift over and go, even if, because that is what the privilege of a saint is to say, I don't actually have to give in to this fear. I actually have a choice. I have somewhere else I can go.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. You had to be able to recognize miracles and second chances in order to be where you are today. So how do you talk to someone who's like, I really don't know if that's for today, miracles and, you know, I think I probably blew it too many times with God. I'm not sure that there is anything here for my future. What do you say to somebody that's just kind of locked up there?
Yeah. Well, I can obviously share my story because I'm a walking miracle. I often say, like, when you read about David and Goliath and Jonah and the whale and, you know, I mean, all these crazy stories, sometimes as, you know, in this life that we're living and all the things against us, we often think, oh, that's a cool story. Like, wow, that'd be cool to live, you know, in those times. But we live in those times now. I just think that we are amiss of, you know, what, recognizing it. And so I believe 100% that is one of my mandates from God, is to share my story to remind people I'm still a miracle working God. What I did in the Bible is the same God, you know, that does the things today, because there is no explanation for why I'm alive. So when somebody, you know, gives that kind of scenario, like, I don't know that I can believe in miracles, I'm like, listen to what God's done for me. Right. And when you take that perspective, when you start thinking along those lines and somebody shares that, it helps them to, you know, really think back on the times, wait, God has done stuff for me too. You know, it might not be saving you from a shark attack. I hope that's not your story too, because I would not want anybody to go through that. But I know that he's done stuff because that's the God we serve. Like, he is always moving and working. But sometimes we put those blinders on, or sometimes we've forgotten, like Israel, you know, back when they were wandering in the wilderness, they forgot what God had done. And so that reminder of that is so key. And so really, when you can focus, when you remind yourself of it, it changes everything. It changes that perspective, that thing that is in front of you right now, becomes smaller when you think about, but God did it then,
right.
So he can do it now.
Yeah. And every testimony like yours follows a test.
Yeah.
If you think of the examples you just used, Jonah and the whale, I mean, that didn't come about because he was just having a perfect life that day. It wasn't like that. And David and Goliath, he had been out in the fields with the sheep, and he had already killed a bear, and he had already killed a lion before he got to Goliath. And when he went to Goliath, if he had failed that test right there, then all of Israel would have gone into captivity, the Philistines. I mean, the pressure was so great.
Mm-hmm.
And we all want the testimony, but none of us want the test, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we lock God in this box, which I started with earlier, which is, why did he even allow this test to happen?
Yeah.
Not to test you necessarily to see how tough you were. Of course, it did, in a way, test your faith, right?
Absolutely.
But that wasn't the ultimate purpose. God works all kinds of good from every test that he allows. David's tests were, in the end, to free the Israelites.
Yeah.
I mean, he's working all kinds of things. And when you're in a test, listener, when you are in a test and you're like, why is God letting this happen? He has a purpose and he has good to bring from it. He promises.
Yeah.
He promises that he has good to bring to it. So shifting the perspective, I think you've just been talking about this. Is there anything else you wanted to add there?
Yeah, I think the best and easiest way is what we kind of chatted about, those red flags, you know, the what if, you know, that's a good red flag to hone in on. To
grab
to
those
know, need it. You need a shift, yeah. You know, or the why me, you know, that if you get those, that's the red flag. So I think, you know, recognizing those red flag things will help you know it's time for a shift in my perspective. You start getting in down in the dumps or just really frustrated or really stressed out. Those are indicators. I need a shift in my perspective. And the easiest way to do that is fix your eyes on the Lord and who he is. Even if it's just like, you start praying, God, I know you're faithful. I know you're good. I know you're full of joy. I know you're full of
worship.
Yeah. You just start speaking out who he is. It's crazy how immediately it shifts everything.
Yeah. You know, I love it, love it, love it. And it's so fun. This next one is, you have three simple strategies to grow your faith. And I have to just tell you that when did we book this interview? I think it's been months, right?
Yeah.
And Monday in my journal, not remembering about this interview, Monday in my journal, I wrote, God, I know that this week, somehow you're really going to grow my faith.
Mm.
And here you are with three simple strategies to help Marnie grow her faith. And you guys can listen it.
Yes. I love how the Lord is so intentional.
I know. He's so good.
Yeah. I think the very first one, it kind of revolves around what I've already been talking about, but just to give words to it, is worship. So one thing that worship does for us is it does shift our perspective. So you stop focusing on the me and all the things in front of you and all the situations that you're in and the things that you're navigating, and it puts that attention back on the Lord. So some of you may, as we've been talking, you're like, how do I fix my eyes on the Lord? That seems, you know, it's kind of a Christianese saying, right? But that's the practical piece,
right?
Worship. Throw on a worship song, you know, that maybe you've sang in church that you really enjoy. Or maybe if you're not in church, you don't really know what that looks like. Type in Hillsong Worship or Jesus Culture or
listen to Caleb, whatever
any of those.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of worship teams that have produced a lot of amazing songs, and throw something on and you just start singing out those. Or you don't have to have a beautiful voice. You don't. But when you start putting the attention back on who he is, that's the key, right? We just said it. So worship is the first strategy to grow your faith because it switches our perspective to him.
Right.
And then the second piece is the word of God. So one thing that I did early on in my journey is I started making a list of scriptures that really I needed. Like, there's no way to prepare for something like this, you know? And I know you all are probably going through or have gone through stuff where there was no plan B for you. There was no way to really see it coming. And so when that happens, the key is getting into the word and speaking out his truth above the circumstance. And so when you're feeling that lack, then you can speak out the truth of God's word. When the lies and the what ifs and all those things that we've been talking about come, you can speak out the truth of God's word. You can replace those thoughts with God's word, because you had mentioned it earlier, Marnie, that we can't just cast out the thought. We have to replace it with something. Right. That's right. The something we replace it with. It's the truth of God's word. So I had like a list of scriptures. And when I was struggling with something, let's say I was struggling with joy, then I would go down my list and I would read out God's word. And so that's the third thing. So not just his word, but the third thing is to speak it out with your own mouth. Yeah. There's something special that happens when we agree with God's word with our own voice. It's something happens. And I don't know. It's a spiritual thing. I can't quite explain it. Yep. Other than when we hear our voice proclaiming God's word, I mean, stuff just starts shifting. And so you may not even be in, you might be in the woe is me mindset. You might be just completely bogged down in depression and anxiety and all the things. But when you start speaking God's word, you may not see or feel the shift right away. But when you like force yourself, I'm going to do this because I know God is who he says he is. His word works. It doesn't return void. You know, I'm quoting all these scriptures, right? Then stuff starts to shift. And maybe it's just stuff in your mind. It starts to shift there. And maybe your situation may not completely change. I know mine, I'm still an amputee. If you haven't noticed, I still don't have, you know, a good chunk of my right arm. That situation has not changed. But what has? How I respond.
Yeah.
And that changes everything. It changes my attitude. It changes how I deal with people. It changes the words that are coming out of my mouth.
Right.
Everything. That's how you grow your faith. You focus on the Lord with worship. You get into the word. You start studying, like, what are the things I need? And if you're like, I don't even know where to begin, throw it into Google. Scriptures on joy. Scriptures on peace. Scriptures on hope. I'm telling you, there's a plethora of things, right?
Yeah.
You get into there and you read, like, read the context, read the verse before it and after it. Make sure it does say what you think it says, right? Because we don't want to take anything out of context. But then you grab a hold of that and you speak it out with your mouth. Every time that those what if thoughts come, every time you see the red flags come, the thoughts of fear, the thoughts of anxiety, all the things, you worship, you get into the word and you speak it out. I promise you, things will begin to shift for you if you can practice those three things.
Oh, just love it. Love it so much. And even one of the things I've done in the past, which, as you said it today, made more sense to me than it ever has before, is recording my own voice, recording those favorite scripture verses that God has assigned to me, like the ones that jump out at you and the ones that when you read it the first time, you cry. And the ones that, like, when you read it, you're like, oh, I so need that. You know, those verses, like, put together what Tiffany's talking about, put together that list, and then just use a free online recorder and record your voice saying those verses in your own voice. And as you listen to it in your own voice, there is something that's happening different. Tiffany, I agree with you. I don't even understand it. I've never even gotten close to understanding it. This brings me closer to today's conversation here. But all I know is that I did that for the first time before I went to Africa, my first time. And if anybody's ever traveled to Africa, especially the impoverished areas, it's quite a mind-bending experience, right? And when I would go to sleep at night, I had almost an hour's worth of these scriptures, me speaking them in my own voice, the truth of who God is and what he's doing in my life and who he is to me and what I am to others, all those truthful things. And I would sleep so peacefully. Even one night I woke up, there's gunshots outside the window of the hotel I'm staying in. And I just fell right back to sleep.
Wow.
When we speak it.
Yeah.
There is some power there. And when you have it handy, like in a recording like that, you just put it on whenever you feel anxious. Just put it in your earbud and listen again.
That's so good. Yeah, so good. It's so powerful. I think the thing, one of the pieces of why it works, I don't know all of the things, but one thing that I feel like the Lord has revealed to me is because when we speak out his word, we are agreeing with a heavenly principle.
Yes.
And that's like an activation. You know, it's like, I am going to agree with your principles, Lord, because I know who you are, even when all this other stuff is speaking differently.
Right.
It's that's the agreement that, you know, is our part to take, right? The Lord is always there and he's always working and he's always, but we have to do our part in responding and saying, God, I agree with what you have. I'm going to take hold of that instead of all the things Satan has for me. So I think that's one of the reasons why it works is because we are actually physically agreeing with it. We're not just thinking about it. We're saying it out loud. We're agreeing with it and saying, God, I trust you outside of all this stuff that I'm seeing in front of me.
It's kind of the difference between David going and looking at Goliath and saying, oh, God could take him, and him going out into the field with the stones. It's trading fear for faith. That's what it's actually in the actuality of it. There's maybe nothing you can do in the physical realm right now to change your circumstances, but what you can do is take action and speak God's word by faith.
Amen.
I mean, that's the action you can take. I love that so much. Real briefly, we're running out of time here, but this is so much fun, Tiffany. Just loving it. Why is it important for people to share their stories of God's faithfulness to them?
That's a weighty question. But I think the biggest thing that I've seen in just my obedience and just willingness to share is that it will impact lives. Revelations 12 says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So it's not just our testimony that does it. The Lord, you know, he goes before and Jesus has to come in and make that revelation to us, right? But our part is sharing. And it says that in Isaiah too, Isaiah 12. I just read this morning. And I told Marnie before the interview, I'm like, I got to get that scripture because I read it this morning. And it was just another reminder. It says in Isaiah 12, 4, it says, thank the Lord, praise his name, tell the nations what he has done. Let them know how mighty he is. Just another reminder. That's our mandate is to share what he's done. Gosh, I can't even tell you how many testimonies I have because I was willing to share just even little, even not even the whole Shark Attack thing, just little glimpses and pieces that the Lord has done. What that has done for somebody else. You don't know. You don't know where they're at in their journey. You don't know what they're facing sometimes. Sometimes they're sharing a little bit and the Lord kind of reminds you of something that you've gone through that may be a little bit similar. And you share like, God's done this for me. I know if he's done it for me, he can do it for you. Gosh, the hope that comes when we're willing to share is beyond anything that we could physically do. And sometimes it's just the sharing that matters. And so I've seen that over and over and over again to the point where I've gotten messages. Now, my story is very different, obviously, and I have a platform that's very different. I've been able to share it on multiple, you know, nation and worldwide programs like the Discovery Channel and, you know, NBC Today and all these crazy things. And not everybody gets that opportunity, but because I was willing to share it, gosh, the countless people that have responded back and said, Tiffany, when I was in a deep, dark place and your interview happened to be on TV or I happened to hear it on the radio, it literally shifted things for me because I see if you can choose joy, I mean, certainly I can choose joy. Right. You know, it really just grabs a hold of our hearts and shows us like God is still for you. So you can be that for somebody else. It doesn't take a platform as big as maybe I've had the opportunity to. That one, the one matters, right?
Right.
And if you could switch somebody's perspective from depression into hope, it's amazing how God can use your story. So it matters. Don't be afraid to share it.
Right. One of the things I'm so excited about is next week, July 11th through 13, we're doing a virtual writer's retreat where if you have a story that God has put in your heart, but you haven't started writing it down yet, come and join us even for a session or for a whole day or all 3 days and start writing this story that God has given you. Because just like what Tiffany is saying, it is for the one, and maybe you're just writing it for your children or grandchildren. Maybe you're writing it for your nieces and nephews. Maybe you're writing it just to get it out of your own heart and onto paper. whatever it is, if you have a story that you feel like God is calling you to share, start writing it. And if we can be of some help next week, come and join us at thrivewithme2023.com. We would love to help you with that. As we close here, Tiffany, I just wanted to ask you one last question. Out of all of this, and I know it's hard to kind of narrow it down, but what is one of the most important to the most important thing that you have learned through this whole experience with the shark attack and God's faithfulness?
Yeah, I think you just said it, God's faithfulness. He is faithful. Yeah. Even when it doesn't feel like it, even when it's the hardest thing that you will ever face, even when it feels like you're in this whirlwind that will never end, he is faithful. That truth, it wrecks me because I've seen it time and time again as we've walked through all of this. You know, the terror and trauma of the shark attack was in and of itself just a lot. But the walking through these years afterwards, I'm 6 years in now, the walking through the everyday, I would venture to say it's even harder than the trauma of the actual event.
Right, right.
Because then that's rubber meets the road. You're back at normal life and everybody moves on. And here you are like, how do I do this? Right?
Right.
But God is so faithful. He's faithful to meet you and give you exactly what you need. And, you know, I shared a little bit about this in the question before about your story mattering, but there were pieces of my journey that were so hard, the pain being one of them, like the physical pain, things that would literally wreck, like it would take me to my knees to the point where I'd have to cringe and just bear through it, right? I thought, Lord, I know you can use a lot of things, but I don't know how you could use that. I mean, how would you be able to use that? And then I meet other amputees. I've been able to minister to other amputees. God opened the door for that. And they're experiencing that pain. And I'm able to put words to the things that they just think they're crazy. You know, like, I don't know. I'm the only one that experiences this. I'm like, no, I know exactly what you're saying. And it was like, oh my gosh, God's using that pain that I thought, surely he can use a lot of things, but this right here, there's no way he can use it.
Yeah.
He is so faithful.
Yeah.
He's faithful to do exactly what he says he will do. But we have to be willing to let him. So that's the biggest lesson, being willing to let him and seeing his faithfulness, even when you don't feel it, even when you don't see it, I promise you, he's faithful to do his part.
Yeah. Oh, I just love it. And I know that was especially for somebody right now today that's like, but how could you use this? I've actually had those exact words come out of my mouth in the past.
Yeah.
But how could you use this? And what I know is that God is faithful and he promises that. I mean, he will use everything. He uses
nothing.
Everything.
Wasted.
Nothing. Yeah. So have faith in God. Have faith in God. Tiffany, thank you for your life. Thank you for your testimony. Thank you for sharing your time with us here. I want to again encourage you guys to go visit her website over at beanovercomerministries.com. Tiffany, when they get over there, what are they going to find?
Well, it talks about the ministry opportunities that I can offer, just coming in and speaking, if it's at a women's event or, you know, church service or youth events. I've done school assemblies, all the ways that God has opened up the door, but I would love to connect with you. And there is a link towards the top that, you know, says, you know, connect with me and just send me a message. It doesn't have to be anything. You don't have to ask me to speak anywhere. I just want to be able to share with you and hear your story too. So reach out. I would love to hear from you.
Oh, that's so great. So you guys make sure to go over and check out beanovercomerministries.com. Tiffany, thanks so much for being here.
Oh, it's my honor. Thank you for the opportunity to just share God's goodness in the midst of a hard situation.
Yeah, thank you so much. And you guys, thank you for being here. I want to remind you that next week is the Virtual Writers Retreat online, and we hope that you will join us. And Tiffany's hoping to stop by for a little bit there too, and just come and meet some other writers, meet some people who have already gone ahead of where you want to go, who can help you take the next steps and set aside some time to do some serious writing. So thank you for that. Thanks for being here, and I hope you have a wonderful day. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.